ask you to speak to us these next few moments, and may you be glorified and magnified. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Just a simple thought that I want to preach on from this text tonight concerning this subject here, the wicked after death. I want you to think about the wicked after death. We know that the rich man has died, the Bible said, and he was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes. And when we come to verse number 25 tonight, I'm not going to labor anything much concerning the verses around the text. You know the story, but I want you to think about the wicked after death, because we, a lot of times when people leave this world and they pass off the scene, many times they leave our minds. I'm not saying that we forget them altogether, but oftentimes life just goes on and life carries on. But when we come to Luke chapter number 16, what we have in this story here is a picture of what takes place once someone dies after they leave this walk of life and they do not know Jesus Christ. And so here we see the wicked after death, and we notice this rich man here as he's having a conversation with Father Abraham. And I thought about in this text that it may very well be that Lazarus has no knowledge of what is taking place in this conversation here, that it is strictly between the rich man and Abraham. You say, why would you say that? Well, there's absolutely no response from Lazarus as the rich man talks to Abraham, and he sees Lazarus over in Abraham's bosom there. But I want you to notice what Abraham, as he responds. I see Abraham responding in verse 25. Abraham said, son, remember. Now, it's interesting to me that Abraham is responding, that he is able to communicate with this man. We notice that the rich man is in hell and Abraham is in paradise, and so there was a gulf, the Bible says here, that separated the saved from the lost. And so for this moment, for this time here, Abraham is responding back. He is giving this man an answer. As he prays, he cries out for a drop of water. He asks Abraham to send him a drop of water, just to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. And then he prayed that he would send Lazarus to be a witness to him. And both of his prayer requests were denied. I would say tonight that no matter what happens, if you die without God, then you've waited too late to pray. Amen. I'm telling you, you better seek God in this life. Amen. And Abraham is responding to him, but the response that he's going to get, my friend, is no. Amen. Neither one of his requests are going to be answered. I'm telling you, God has a ready ear, and he's willing to listen tonight, and God is willing to respond to your need and to my need. But if you wait till you get to the other side, then you've waited too long. And so I see Abraham responding, and also I see Abraham respecting here as he calls him a son. And we know that word son would be a term of endearment, and so this man no doubt is a son of Abraham, but he is not a son of God. He may have religion, but he does not have salvation. He may be a Jew, but that's not going to get him into the kingdom of heaven. You see, you're not going to get to heaven based on who you know, based on what you are in society. I'm telling you, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And if you get to heaven, you won't ride your mom and dad's coattail. You won't get in because you're a member of this church. You won't go to heaven because you did such and such, or did this, or did a lot of good works. Abraham is responding. He's calling him a son, as he is a son of Abraham, but he is not a son of God. It's interesting tonight. Are you a son of God? You may be a member of Bible Baptist Church, but do you have membership in heaven tonight? I see Abraham responding. I see Abraham respecting. And then here's where I want to preach a few minutes tonight. I see Abraham reminding. As he says, son, remember. He wants him to remember some things. The rich man will receive no mercy in this text. And the rich man, he has no more money. He has no more materials. There's only one thing this rich man has in hell. He has his memory. He's going to be able to remember. I would say tonight, if you do not know Jesus Christ, you may not think much about life. You may not think much about the Lord. You may not think much about getting saved right now. But if you die without Christ and you go to hell, you'll have all of eternity to remember. You'll have your mind in hell. You'll have your memory in hell. I don't know what kind of body this man had, but he obviously had a body, because he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And he lift up his eyes, the Bible says. So here's a man that in this second death, we know that when a person dies that their body goes into the ground. We know that that their spirit goes out into, their soul goes out into eternity. But my friend, this man had some kind of body over while he was in hell. His eyes are lifted up. His tongue is burning. He's experiencing a death. What is the second death? It's death over and over and over again. He's experiencing that spiritual death as he has died without God. He is dead in his trespasses and sin. And this man has his memory. You will have time to remember in eternity all the things in this life, as we see in this text here. And we see Abraham is reminding him. He has his memory. Abraham tells him in this brief conversation, in this one verse tonight, as we think about the wicked after death, there's three things that he wants him to, or he tells him to remember. Number one, he tells him to remember his lifetime. He said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime. Here's a man that has been given an opportunity to live on earth, and now his days have expired. He can remember while he's in hell his starting days. He can go back and remember the very beginning of his life. He can remember the simple days of life. And he can no doubt remember special days, maybe birthdays, maybe special events and times. While he's in hell, he'll remember all of these days. He can remember the sinful days when he had no time for God and he was faring sumptuously. The Bible said every day living for self, those selfish days when he had no time. He's got the rest of eternity to dwell and to think about his lifetime here on earth. I think that would be a torment within itself, to die without God and go to hell and spend eternity remembering this life, and remembering every invitation you was ever given, remembering every time somebody tried to give you the gospel or somebody prayed for your soul, to remember every church service, to remember your pastor, your pastor's wife, to remember your Sunday school teacher. You have time to remember the good times with your family. You have time to remember all the joyous events. You have time to remember every time you could have got right with God, every time you could have got saved, but you didn't get saved. You have your lifetime to remember. Your childhood, your younger days, your middle age. If God lets you live to be older, you'll have the time. I don't know how old this man was, but he had a lifetime here on earth. And Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime, I want you to go back while you're burning in the charred walls of hell. I want you to go back and I want you to remember your days here on earth. Remember those days. You know, the Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Tonight we must remember our lifetime. If you're here tonight and you say, I don't have time for God, I don't have time to get saved, I've got things I want to do. Well, the only problem with that is you may never get to that destination. Oh, but preacher, I'm young. Or maybe you're here and you say, well, I'm middle-aged. I still got 10 or 20 or 30 more years before I get older. Maybe that appears to be so. But Proverbs 27 and verse 1 said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You never know when you're going to leave this world. I never know when I'm going to leave this world. I'm telling you, we're not promised another heartbeat. We're not promised another day here on earth. This may be your final sunset. You may have saw your last sunrise. You may have lived your last day here on earth. I'm telling you, none of us know that when we pillow our head tonight, none of us have a promise that we'll open our eyes and see another tomorrow here in this world. I'll tell you, when you leave this world, you'll have eternity to think about the life that God has given you. Nobody will stand in the face of God and say, God, you was not fair. He was more than fair. there. He was gracious. Amen. He gave you life. He gave you an opportunity to live. He let you breathe his air and live in his world. He let you get out of bed every morning. Whether it be 10 years or 20 or 50 years, we ought to all be thankful that God has given us a being and a moment and a time here on earth, and we will have eternity to remember our lifetime. Son, remember that in thy lifetime, if your life was to end tonight, how would your life end? What is it like? What has your lifetime been? Has your lifetime, as God, could you say tonight that God has been good to you? I think we'd all have to say that. Have you given time for God? Have you thought about eternity? In your lifetime, what has been your desires? What has been your goal? This man's desire and his goals are easily seen in verse number 19, that as he was a rich man, he had plenty of things in this world, but he fared sumptuously. Every day he's lived life to its fullest. He lived lavishly. The Bible said, here's a man that had the best that money could buy, the best that money could offer in this lifetime, but he was not saved. He wasted his lifetime. Don't waste your lifetime. Don't waste it on self. Don't waste it on pleasures. Don't waste it on the devil tonight. Don't waste your life. Do you know tonight the soul of man is more valuable than all the diamonds and the rubies of this world? Your soul tonight is more valuable than anything they can mine out of the earth. It's more valuable, than all the money that Bill Gates has tonight stored up in banks tonight. Your money is worth more. Your soul tonight is worth more than all the treasures and all the power that this world could ever offer. You say, how is that, preacher? I'll tell you how. Because all the things of this world, all the treasures of this world, they're going to be gone one of these days. But your soul and my soul, it's going to live for eternity somewheres. Remember your lifetime. And then he wants him to remember his luxuries. He said, remember that in thou in thy lifetime, look at this, receiveth thy good things. Here's a man that he received good things in this life. Some people in life have never had a good chance, have they? Born into poverty, born into trouble, born into trials, born into drugs, born into alcohol, born into a family that did not want them, born into a family that did not care about them, abused as a child, abused as they grew up. They didn't have anything. They never know God in their family, no God in their life. I mean, the story just goes on from one tragic event to another tragic event, losing people in their life, surrounded by bitterness and hatred, surrounded by all kinds of perversion, surrounded by all kinds of wickedness. We've all seen and heard about people like that never had a chance in life. But I would dare say that's probably not most people sitting in this building here tonight. I'm telling you, God has been good to you. You may not have $1 million in the bank, but I tell you, God has blessed you. God has took care of you. If you're here tonight and you've had parents that loved you and you had food on your table and you had clothes on your back, I'm telling you, it was born in America. You wasn't born behind the Iron Curtain. You wasn't born in Red China. You wasn't born in the jungles of Africa. But God let you be born in the greatest country in this world. He's let you hear the gospel. He's let you have liberty. He's let you have freedom. You've got luxuries. You've got riches that money can't buy. Amen. But I'll tell you something, the things of this world can steal your heart and send you to hell. It can damn your soul. There's nothing wrong with having things in life as long as things don't have you. He was rich in fashion, rich in food, had more food than he could ever want, rich in finances, evidently fared sumptuously every day, rich in fun. He had everything in this world that he had to offer, but he didn't have God. It makes me think about that old song that we sing sometimes around here, until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up out of sin where he has trod, until you have known just how it feels to know that God is is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. I'm telling you tonight, it feels good on a Wednesday night to be able to raise both hands and say, I'm not much by this world's standard, but thank God I know enough to get home. I know where I'm going when I leave this walk of life. I know I've been washed in the blood. I know I've been saved by grace. I know, thank God, I'll never spend one night in the charred walls of hell. I'm telling you, they can have their riches. They can have their parties. They can have their silver. They can have their gold. Just give me Jesus. Amen. It's good to be saved. It's good to know Him tonight. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, if I leave this world, I won't leave it with a lot of money in the bank. I won't leave it with a lot of fame and a lot of fortune. But thank God I'll leave it knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Do you know Him tonight? I tell you, I'd rather be a misfit in this world's eyes on this side. Amen. I'd rather be a stranger and a pilgrim down here. Thank God it's to know when I leave, I'm headed home tonight. Remember, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to have eternity in hell to remember all the luxuries. That bed you pull in at night and those covers you pull over you that keeps you warm. That air conditioning that comes on. I wish it'd come on right now. Somebody say amen. Y'all pray about that. We've been working on it like everything. And I'm trying not to get in the flesh, amen. But sometimes you want to take a hammer to some things. Well, I better just move on, amen. But I'm telling you tonight, when you think about it, you got a warm place, a cool place. Nobody's going to leave this building tonight and have to walk home. And if we did, God'd still be good, wouldn't He? You're not riding a horse and a wagon to the house tonight, and that'd be all right too if we had to. Nobody, but I tell you, we're going to get an automobile. And we're going to go to the house. And when we get home, if we're hungry, most of us could just go on the bed and not eat. And nobody's going to starve to death in this outfit. You know that. Amen. We could stand to go 2 or 3 days and not eat. And it wouldn't do nothing but make us more healthier. Isn't that right? But I'm telling you, listen, if we want to go home and make a sandwich, we can. You know why? Because God's let us live in the land of plenty. Amen. We live in the land of Bibles and steeples. And I know America's not everything that she ought to be. It needs to be, but I tell you, God's still been good. There's a lot of luxuries in this life. You young people, listen, you're not sitting on boards, you're sitting on padded pews. I'm telling you, and God's blessed you, and God's been good to you, but you remember God all the days of your life, even on a Wednesday night, to be able to come to church and hear a sermon on hell makes me want to say, thank you, Lord, that I know the truth. Thank you, God, that I'm not deceived. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that I know the truth of the gospel tonight. I remember a few years ago when we was out in Utah, I went through the Mormon tabernacle. And I went through there. I wanted to see the inside of that. And saw inside there and then went through their museum. I wouldn't recommend nobody to do it, but I wanted to go through there. And I walked through that museum, and I'm going to tell you something. It was state of the art. And on a museum anywhere in America that has any better technology or laid out any better the format, you would have thought it would be just like walking through a government museum. Everything was so put together is what I'm saying. And I walked through there, and as we was walking through there, you could just walk up anywhere, you could press a button, and it would tell you part of a story. And I walked through there, and there was one place, I'll never forget one place there. You come through like a kid zone. It was like a kid zone, a big, large area, maybe almost as long as this sanctuary. It was a kid zone, and everything was state-of-the-art, just things to play in and crawl in and everything. And then when you come to this one little section, they had this like doll, I don't know what you call it, a playhouse, I reckon you would say, about the size of this platform right area right here, big and everything. And then in the front of it, you know what they had? They had little children praising Joseph Smith, talking about the Mormon church. They had a video of that going on, just over and over and over. And I walked through there and I thought, you know, how sad. How sad. The building high and beautiful. That's what Satan does. All worship to himself. How sad. Walk through that place and all the things that they had laid out and all the money and I mean, as fine as any building you would ever see. There's one problem with the whole thing. None of it's true. It's an occult. It's not a denomination. It's false. It'll damn your soul and send you to hell. I mean, how many wives he had, but walked through there and you could press and listen to each wife as they read their story to you. And I walked through there and I thought about that big cathedral and how beautiful it was. And I thought, man, they come in here and they have some type of worship service, what they call, and they sing and they do all these things. But the sad tragedy at the end of the day is that their soul is just as damned for hell as a drunkard, as a dope head that's never heard the gospel. Probably even worse in the aspect that they're so deceived and it's hard to reach people once they have been deceived. But thank God the power of the gospel can break through all of that. And as I walked down through there, there was an emptiness and there was a darkness about the whole thing. And I'll tell you, that's what religion is. It leaves you without any hope. It leaves you without any joy. It leaves you without any peace. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. There's peace on the inside. There's joy on the inside. I can look at that and say, I don't need it. I done found something that'll last throughout eternity. Hallelujah. And on a Wednesday night, being in church, thank God we're here tonight because we know the truth. But there are people tonight that have let the things of this world, young people, I know you get hammered all the time about this. And I'm not just hammering you tonight, but I would say it one more time, don't let the things of this world pull you out there. And I don't think most of you will. But you need to make your mind up tonight that you're going to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and live for him. If you go to hell, do you think about the Hollywood stars and the sports stars and the rock singers and the country singers that have sold their life out to the devil and the dollar, died without God and went to hell, and tonight, as they're in hell, all the fame and all the fortune and all the good timing and all the riches doesn't matter anymore. All the luxuries of life means nothing when you leave this world. You're leaving it all behind. Somebody else will collect it and gather it up and take and do whatever they will with it, but you can't take any of it with you. Son, remember your lifetime. Remember your luxuries. And then he said, remember your Lazarus. Because he said, likewise, Lazarus, evil thing. But now, that's what matters. Look, you ought to circle those two words. In eternity, what matters is really just this one word, now. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Here in this world, Lazarus had nothing. Lazarus was just a beggar, a bother to this man, but he was a believer. It dawned on me when I read this verse the other day that the most valuable treasure that the rich man owned on this earth, or that he had, can I say, in his possession on this earth, the most valuable treasure that the rich man possessed while he was here on earth was that beggar that was laying in his gate every day full of sores. Because had he just fed him a meal, I wonder if he'd have just brought him in and gave him some of the crumbs, maybe not even brought him in. I wonder if he would have just took some of those crumbs that fell from his table, if it had just took them out there and gave them to that beggar, I wonder if maybe that beggar would have shared the gospel with him, would have shared the opportunity on the way of how he could have been saved, and he would have got saved, but he will never know that story. You see, I believe the rich man probably still saw Lazarus as just an old beggar. He said, send Lazarus, amen. Just send him. And I'll tell you something, Abraham reminded him, hey, this world isn't like that other world. world. Things are different on this side. Amen. He's comforted and you're tormented. You know, listen, we've all had a Lazarus in our life. God has put somebody in our life down through a time that brought the gospel to us, that could have that told us about Jesus Christ. Lazarus could have helped this man find eternal life. Amen. Tonight, be careful. Be careful that you don't push away the very people God's put in your life. You know, I say this to you, young people. Think about this, because it doesn't matter who you are tonight. Grayson, the devil will do the same thing to you that he's done to the young people that's older than you and the adults that's in this room. And I'm going to tell you what it'd be. I'll tell you what it's going to be, Grayson. He will send people in your life to try to pull you away from the godly teaching, your pastor, your parents, your Sunday school teacher. He'll let somebody befriend you along the way, and they'll say something to you like this, Greg. Well, you don't have to listen to your mom and dad. You don't have to listen to that preacher. You don't have to listen to that Sunday school teacher that's been telling you all that stuff. Oh, no, you come over here with us And you know, I know we're at church, and I know you can't, your parents won't, though they keep their thumb on you, won't let you out of their sight. That's a good thing, isn't it? So they keep their thumb on you, won't let you out of their sight, but I tell you what, we'll go over here under the basketball goal. I want to share some things with you, Grayson. I want to teach you some things. Oh, there'll be people. You rest assured. You don't have to go to the honky-tonks to find that stuff. It'll come to you. But you remember something. See, you remember the people God put in your life. God gave you parents for a reason. I would never tell a young person who has godly parents, I would never say anything that would go against what their parents would tell them. Amen. Young person say something to me, I said, what did your mom and dad say about it? Isn't that right? I would never tell them the opposite. Now, if they was some parent trying to get them off in some deep, dark sin, of course I would take the word of God and say that's not right. But even with having lost parents growing up, the Holy Spirit used to remind me oftentimes. And my mother got saved shortly, but with my father, my mother the Lord would remind me oftentimes, now you honor your daddy. You respect your dad. He drinks, he's not saved. All the more reason for you to honor him and respect him. He'll not get saved if you rise up against him. I remember the Holy Spirit telling me those things. What I'm saying to you tonight is this: God puts people in your path. Don't let people take the people out of your life that God put in your path. That's your pathway to safety. That's your Lazarus is in your life. That's your pathway to being staying on the right track. Have you ever noticed the people that come in to other people's lives? And I got to quit, but I'm going to tell you, I got too much liberty right here. Have you ever noticed the people that comes into people's lives that wasn't God ordained in their lives, that tries to pull them away from the people that God put in their life? Have you ever noticed that if they follow, here's what happens. It never ends good for them. That's the first thing that happens. The second thing is, the person that, and you listen to me, young people, the person that pulls you out will surely leave you high and dry somewheres. Every single time. And you'll be faced to do one of two things. Come right back to the people God put in your life, broken and scarred. Or rebel and go further. And life will get worse. I'm just saying to you tonight, God puts Lazaruses in our life. You know, for me, it was my pastor. It was a Sunday school teacher. He was a bus worker. That's who it was in my life. After I got saved, I remember getting on that bus that morning, and that same Sunday school teacher that drove that bus put that Bible there, that highlighter, that notepad. He put my name on that. And as I saw that, he put a Bible in my hand after I got saved. That same Sunday school teacher, I think about him oftentimes, was an encouragement to me along the way. That pastor that said, you need a haircut, that pastor said this, and you know, all those things, those were Lazaruses in my life. They're not just for salvation, but God puts them there to help you from the pitfalls and the snares of life. And I want to say to you, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I listen, I'm not much. I'm not saying I'm, in fact, I'm nothing tonight. I'm not saying I'm anything. But if you're here tonight and you're lost, you listen to your pastor right now. Because I'm not much. I'm just an old beggar begging you that if you're lost, would you get saved on this Wednesday night? I'm just a beggar begging you that if you're thinking about going out in sin on Wednesday night, I'm begging you to get right. I'm just a beggar telling you if you're an adult in this building tonight on a Wednesday night, would you get right with God if you're just in a rut and you need to move up closer to the Lord? You know, I don't want our church to die, do you? I got four amens. Better pay attention to that. Because I knew when I said it, it was going to be quiet. I know we get tired. Man, I know it gets hot in here sometimes. But if I beat one drum, I'm going to beat it one more time because I'm going to tell you for all of our benefit tonight. If we want this church to die, and I say we, here's all we got to do. Just get at ease in Zion. Get real comfortable in that pew you're sitting in right there, Miss Tammy. Just get real comfortable and get real silent. Isn't that right, Brother Danny? Just get quiet. And we'll have a good church with pretty singing. And we don't run every week. I know that. But I'm telling you tonight what's in my heart. Don't get at ease in Zion if you're saved. I know I've preached on everything, but I hope I've hit everything tonight. I hope the Lord's let me say what needs to be said tonight. The wicked after death. What if tonight, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, what if this is the last sermon you're going to hear? What if it's the last invitation you're going to be? I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm warning you tonight. If you're lost, the Holy Spirit will tell you you're lost. And if you need to be saved, there's no what ifs about that. It's an absolute. You know you need to be saved. And he'll tell you to come. And if you're here tonight and you need to come, I want you to come as we stand tonight. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to take just a moment while they play softly. Before we sing that song, I want to take just a moment tonight and ask if you're here and you're not saved, would you come and get saved tonight? Would you come? Would you come to Christ? Don't come. You can't come because somebody wants you to come. You can't come because somebody else comes. You got to come because the Holy Spirit deals with your heart tonight. And if you're here tonight and you've strayed or you're thinking about going down the wrong path, consider the message tonight a solemn warning that God is trying to just warn you. You stay on the right path. You don't have to go down that way. God loves you. And you do not have to go down that way. Don't you let somebody pull you down the wrong path. They're just trying to ruin your life tonight. While we sing, if you need to come, folks have already, you just obey God tonight.
Just as I am.